Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Last night, the Juneau Assembly moved forward with a plan to expand city bus services during the tourist-heavy summer months. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
With 1.6 million passengers coming off cruise ships in Juneau last summer, private tourist popular attractions like the Mendenhall Glacier sold out halfway through the season. That meant an influx of visitors opted to ride city buses instead. Juneau residents felt the impact of that. When buses were too full, drivers had to pass people by. Deputy Mayor Michelle Bonnet-Hale says she rode a city bus last summer during a busy day to understand the gravity of the situation.
It was really, really bad, and the drivers felt horrible having to leave locals behind who were then missing their jobs and coming in late because they couldn't catch a bus.
According to data compiled by bus drivers, between early May and late July of last year, nearly 400 passengers were left behind at bus stops, seven of which were people in wheelchairs. And that usually happened on days with more ships in town. At an assembly committee meeting Monday night, members voted to move forward with a plan to implement a tripper bus service for the 2024 summer season. It's essentially an extra bus that would follow the buses that already go from downtown to the Mendenhall Valley near the glacier. Juneau Tourism Manager Alex Pierce says the tripper would run on peak summer days when regular buses are overloaded with visitor passengers. She says the extra service is meant to ensure local passengers aren't left behind.
The tripper service is an attempt to solve the problem that's before us. We have too many people riding the city bus in the summer, and we're skipping people at bus stops.
Pierce says the tripper service would run between May 1st and October 1st. It's anticipated to cost the city $900,000 to run it fully, or it can be scaled down. Pierce says the city hopes to pay for it with money collected annually from cruise ship passengers. That will be up to the assembly to decide. Pierce says a more descriptive plan for the service will appear at an upcoming regular assembly meeting and will be open for public comment before approval. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
The Juneau Assembly has asked city staff to move forward with a Telephone Hill redevelopment plan that would demolish the neighborhood's historic homes. As KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, it could add more than 100 new housing units in downtown Juneau.
Designers shared four redevelopment models with Juneau residents in the fall. Option C added the most new housing, 100 to 200 apartments in mid-rise buildings. Option D was the only plan that preserved some of the existing houses while adding apartments among them. In an online survey, Juneau residents gave option C just 13 more votes than D. But at an assembly committee of the whole meeting Monday night, member Christine Wall said their decision was a response to Juneau's housing crisis, not the survey.
Option C barely, quote unquote, won the survey. I think that's a useful piece of information, but I think our decision should be based on what we think is best for the community, based on what we know.
Assembly member Paul Kelly objected, saying he didn't want to make Telephone Hill's remaining tenants leave their homes.
The levels of housing that people are asking for, I think we can achieve that and allow people who are living in the area to remain in their homes if we proceed with instead option D.
But Mayor Beth Weldon said tenants may have had to leave even if the city left the houses standing.
If we leave the houses there, the people that are in them currently may not stay in them because those will go at fair market value. And after my tour there, there's a house there that has some land. It's a big house with a view. That house is going to go for $900,000.
Assemblymember Wade Bryson said they had a responsibility to serve all of Juneau's residents.
I would hate for this assembly to take an action that would stop economic growth for a small group of individuals, a small group of Juneauites that doesn't seem like the common good or good for the community.
The assembly voted to direct staff to refine option C, with Kelly voting no. The assembly also agreed that the historic review process had been sufficient and that a more extensive review wasn't necessary. Kelly cast the only no vote. Architects had reported on the historic significance of Telephone Hill and its structures. An assessment of the building's condition found water damage, roof leaks, and rotten windowsills and door frames in many of the houses. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
U.S. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, along with Representative Mary Peltola, introduced legislation last month that seeks to forego a unique restriction in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. The bill aims to settle a decades-old dispute that has prevented the Cape Fox Corporation from claiming all the land they're entitled to under the act. KRBD's Jack Darrell has more.
Cape Fox Corporation is the Alaska Native Village Corporation organized under ANCSA for the Native Village of Saxman near Ketchikan. It's one of dozens of Native corporations statewide that were returned 44 million acres of ancestral land from the federal government, with some restrictions. One of those restrictions required the corporation's land to be at least 2 miles from any existing city boundary, except for Cape Fox. The distance for Cape Fox was expanded to 6 miles from the nearest city in order to protect nearby Ketchikan's watersheds. Cape Fox Corporation couldn't be reached for comment, but in a press release, the corporation alleges the 6 mile requirement created a unique problem for them. Saxman is nestled between the Revilla Island and the Tongass Narrows, with a handful of islands scattered beyond, and the corporation's acreage options under the land entitlement were further hemmed in by Ketchikan to the north and to the south of their selection area, the Annette Island Indian Reservation, which belongs to the Metlakatla Indian community. According to a statement from the congressional delegation, this left Cape Fox with land that is of no economic value to them. So the new bill would grant the corporation a 180-acre tract of Tongass National Forest near Mahoney Lake instead. In Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
For the second installment of Tongass Voices, Perspectives from the Homelands of the Occoquan and Beyond, Anna Mahaner is a musician, a bartender, and a skateboarder here in Juneau. People may know her by the name of her band, the Rain Dogs. Juneau locals and old friends Keenan Wright and Jacob Eberhart make up the rest of the band. The Rain Dogs are putting out their first album this month.
So I'm Anna Mahaner, and I play in a local band called the Rain Dogs. And I moved here almost two years ago. I moved here to kind of pursue music and becoming a little bit more confident with playing, because I always used to get really nervous when I would go up on stage. 3 summers ago, I visited my best friend, who I live with now. She was working for the Forest Service. She was like, "You need to come visit. Juneau's sick. It's so pretty here." But then when I flew into Juneau, it was like an 80 degree day. So I got totally catfished. And fast forward about a year, we were planning to move to Vermont. And then she was like, "Actually, how do you feel about moving to Juneau?" I got offered the same job again. And that's how I ended up here. Usually what I've found is it is a really cathartic release. Usually I'm pretty sad or pretty bummed. I am a bit somber, and it's like a journal entry, and you kind of just like, I start like picking around, and I'm like, "Oh, I like that riff." And I have a loop pedal, so I'll like get things going on the loop pedal. And then with the vocals, it's like usually you could like, I like hum in a little melody, and then I'm like, "Okay, that's the melody." And then like I worry about the words later, because like sometimes I'll be like, you know, I could be, like, talking about, like, my dirty socks, you know what I mean? And I'm like, "I'm not going to use these lyrics, but, like, something that, like, sounds similar or whatever."
Only Lord knows all the things I've done, all the tears I've cried
for the things I met Keenan, and we played in the Folk Fest, and it was very kind of, like spur of the moment, like, "Oh, let's play together," and he liked playing some of my songs. We played some open mics, and then we were like, let's start a band. And then his roommate Jacob, who didn't play bass at all, was like, "I'll play bass." So now he's playing bass, and he's actually a really, really good bass player. But it kind of turned into one of those things where we were playing together, and I was like, and they were like, "Well, what do you want to call it?" They said they really like Rainier. And I was like, "I really like my dog's name." I was like, "I really want to call it Harley Harley." And I was like, "Wink, wink." And they were like, "No, we're not calling it your dog's name." And so they're like, "What about the Rain Dogs? Because then it's the beer that we like to drink and you still get a dog in there." I was like, "All right." The close-knit community here has definitely made it a little bit easier to transition into feeling comfortable going up and performing. Plus, everyone is so supportive and so welcoming and like, really, I feel like, pushes you to kind of branch out and experience doing something new that you haven't done.
So will you stir? Tell me I gotta think.
That was Anna Mahaner, Rising Juno musician, for this week's Tongass Voices.